Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Wonderful. Nehemiah, I want to talk to you tonight out of this book, and when I get to my main points tonight, I've used these main points before, but I want to look at it in a different aspect tonight and a different view. And I really want to just make a practical application out of these walls of Jerusalem tonight and see what we can learn. The Bible said this in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Haggai, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd use us as we look into your word. I pray, God, that we would get understanding from it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch us mentally and physically tonight. You know our need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A lot of times whenever we look at the book of Nehemiah, and I've preached I don't know how many messages out of these first six chapters of the book of Nehemiah. But a lot of times what we do when we come to the book of Nehemiah, we read this, we talk about the walls being destroyed and the remnant of the people that's left there, and we take off wide open from that. And I'm guilty of doing that myself. But what I want to do tonight in the introduction, I want to give you the history of why these walls are destroyed. What has happened leading into the book of Nehemiah? Why are the walls like this? Why is the people in great affliction in Jerusalem and these walls destroyed? When you begin to study the book of Nehemiah, you'll find out that it was written around 430 B.C. Now, these dates are really important whenever you study the timeline of what's going on. It was written around 430 B.C. The practical insights recorded from Nehemiah's life are still up to date with our world today. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In other words, the things that was happening, we see happening in our world today, and the way that Nehemiah approached this problem or this situation, we can still use that application to approach problems and situations in our life. And can I say something to you tonight? Each and every person sitting in here tonight deals with problems and situations in their life. When you really look at the walls of Jerusalem being destroyed, there's a problem that is here. There's a major problem. And each and every one of us has problems in our life. I've said this before. Some things that's a problem to you would not be a problem to me, because each and every person handles things differently. Some things that is a problem to me would not be a problem to you. But the truth of the matter is this: we all have situations and problems that we face in our life. As you begin to move through the book of Nehemiah, you'll find that Nehemiah was a man of action. He took problems that he was encountering in his own life, faced them, and did not run away from them. Now, I want to say something about problems and situations that we have in our life. We'll never solve them running away. Well, Leslie and I was talking. We was coming up the road today. We got up early and left this morning from Tennessee, and then we stopped in Bristol for a while and went to Bass Pro and the Boot Barn, and ended up, we walked in Starbucks and got a cup of coffee and sit down in there, and I had to send some emails, so we just sit down in there and talked a little while, and we was talking about different problems and how sometimes people's reactions to problems is a flight. They run from it. They go away from it. But I want to tell you something. Walking away and running away from our problems never solve them. You have to approach those things and confront it sometimes. And Nehemiah was not a man that ran away from his problems. He approached it. In this book, Nehemiah will be presented in three different roles as you study the book of Nehemiah. Early in the book, you see him as a cupbearer and a butler to the king. Midway in the book, he's the rebuilder of the wall. And at the end of the book, he's the governor of the city. Before we open the whole message and really dive into it tonight, I want you to look at some of the events that's leading up to this book. And it's really the foundation for understanding the walls of Jerusalem being destroyed. Why is it this way? Why is there a problem here? So let's look at some of the events leading up to it. Under Saul, David, and Solomon. And boy, there's a lot that can be said about Saul, David, and Solomon. But think about this. Under Saul, David, and Solomon, the nation of Israel has prospered. At the end of Solomon's reign, however, he compromised with the world to invoke God's judgment on the nation of Israel. And I want you to understand something tonight, and I'm just going to say this in passing. Whenever you are doing things according to God's word, living your life according to God's word, then I promise you, you will prosper in the things of God. That doesn't mean that we're going to be a millionaire. That means that we will prosper in the things of God. God's view of things and man's fleshly view of things are two completely different things. But the nation of Israel is prospering because they are living pleasing to God. I want to say something to you right here. I'm not going to get political tonight. I'm going to state facts. We was talking about facts today. Myself and Brother Jonathan Bass and Brother Jeremy Simpson. Tomorrow we're going to be shooting podcasts the biggest part of the day. And one of the big topics right now in the world is music and music in churches. And we're going to be doing several podcasts dealing with music. But anyway, what is the facts? When you look at the facts, 3 years ago, our nation was prospering a whole lot more than it is right now. And you can say amen right there because that's a fact. That's a fact. But you can also go back 3 years ago and look at a nation that stood firm with the nation of Israel. We was a country that was the friend of Israel. And God said this, if you're good to them, I'll be good to you. And if you're not good to them, I'll not be good to you. And the fact of the matter is, I'm not saying our former president was saved. I'm not saying he was a godly man. I'm saying this, he did stand with the nation of Israel and God blessed us because of that. These people under the reign of Solomon goes away from godliness and they compromise to worldliness and it invokes the judgment of God on them. When Solomon died, Israel was invaded and civil war erupted in the nation. The northern 10 tribes known as Israel sided together against the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. God judged the nation or the northern tribes when the Assyrians invaded Israel in 722. The 10 tribes were finished and taken off into captivity. It was in 605 BC when Babylon's King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah for the first of three key invasions. He took the people captive. This is what is known of as the Babylonian captivity. And in 586, the temple was destroyed and the vessels of the temple were carried off to Babylon. This is what's leading up to the walls of Jerusalem being destroyed. Why was they destroyed? Here's the reason why. Because there was a king that went away from godliness and compromised to worldliness. This invasion is the key to understanding the background of Nehemiah. The fall of Jerusalem helps to comprehend the events actually in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. The temple and the walls of Jerusalem were in ruins during the time of captivity, which was a period of 70 years. When you study the Word of God, Psalms 37 was written during this time. And one of the key verses says this, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" they was in captivity. Many of the Jews became slaves during that time. The Jews went back to Jerusalem under the leadership of three different men, under Zerubbabel in 538, and then there was 80 years later under Ezra, and then 13 years later here underneath Nehemiah as they began going back. So you say, preacher, why did you say all of that? Leading into the book of Nehemiah, the Jews are in great affliction. They have a major problem in their life. What stemmed this? What caused this? Worldliness caused this problem. I'm not saying that every problem in our life comes from worldliness, but a lot of problems in our life comes from worldliness tonight. And worldliness is what caused the problem. Now, understand this with me. No matter what caused this problem, they got a problem. No matter what caused it. Whether it was rebellion, whether it was this, or whether it was that, it really doesn't matter what it was. The key is this: they got a problem. They got a major problem. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The people are in great affliction. The people's upset. When I say the wall of Jerusalem, it's not a wall as we are looking at today. Whenever you study that wall out, that wall was 2.5 miles long, was 39 feet high, and was 8 feet wide, and covered around 960 acres. This is not just a little wall that they're going to come back together and rip some 2x8s down to 2x4s and build it back. This is a major wall, and not only the walls, but the gates of those walls are torn down also. There's one gate that remains standing. Does anybody know what that gate was? Of those 9 gates, does anybody know what that one gate was? The Word of God. The water gate that represented the Word of God. It never crumbled during that time. The Word of God will, amen, the Word of God will always stand. Matter of fact, there was 36, it was either 36 or 38 watchtowers that was on this wall. So when I say the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, understand this is a mess. This is a mess. They got a mess on their hands. They got big problems on their hands. What are they going to do about it? In your life and in my life, there's times that we have problems that comes our way. We have major problems that comes our way. There's times it looks like the walls are crumbling in around us. Nehemiah has an action that he takes in this, and I've used this outline before preaching on missions and preaching on young people, but let's let those walls represent our problems tonight. How are we going to deal with our problems? How are we going to face our problems? How are we going to be able to overcome those major situations in our life? Well, let's see what Nehemiah does. Number one, Nehemiah gets concerned. You'll have these points written down. Number one, if you've heard me preach out of Nehemiah any at all, he gets concerned about that problem. You know, a lot of times today when problems come, we don't deal with it. We don't deal with it. You know, a lot of times, again, Leslie and I, we talked a lot this week because there's not hardly any time our kids are not with us, and it's just us. So we was in the car, 6 or 7 hours together going up there and coming back, and then we spent the day together yesterday after the morning session, and after we eat lunch, Brother Brian and Miss April, we spent some time just together, just her and I shopping. Then last night, several of us eat supper together and went and done an escape room and had a blast at that. But anyway, we was talking about how, you know, a lot of times people don't want to confront issues. Whenever a problem comes, they just want to cover it up. You're never going to fix anything covering it up. You know what's going to happen? You're just going to end up making a bigger mess and a bigger mess and a bigger mess and a bigger mess. You get a big enough cut on you. If you don't deal with that cut, you just try to cover it up. It's going to end up in bad, bad shape, end up with gangrene in it, and it can end up killing you before it's all said and done. He got concerned about it. I want to ask you something. Those problems in our life, are we truly concerned about handling them the right way? Not just any way. I've said this many times before. Before you deal with anything, you better pray about it. You better pray about it. You know what? And I hate to use this word, but understand what I'm saying. The holiday season is here, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. You know, a lot of times, that's hard times on people. And here's the reason why. Families today can't get along for nothing. Families today cannot get along for nothing. It is so stinking sad that they can't. You know what? My wife, when I married my wife, whether I like her mom and daddy or not, I got them. And you know, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, I'm to honor them just like I honor my mom and daddy. And Miss Leslie would tell you there's times that I don't agree with them on everything. Matter of fact, they may be watching tonight and say that they don't agree with me. I'm sure they don't agree with me, but I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never hear me badmouth them. I wouldn't have a lot of the things that I've got today if it wasn't for my mother-in-law and father-in-law. I'm just being honest with you. I got a godly mother-in-law and father-in-law, but you're not going to agree with everybody on everything all the time. But according to the Word of God, I'm to honor them. You know what? There's times, matter of fact, we was talking coming up the road today. The girls stayed with Mom and Dad, and after we picked them up today, Olivia and Victoria was talking about how horrible of a driver Daddy is. And we agreed with them. If you've never rode with him, ride with him one time, and you'll understand what I'm saying. Leslie was saying, yeah, she said, when we was dating, we had to ride with him every once in a while. And she said, I always got so sick. And Miss Jan would say, Brother Allen, or she wouldn't say Brother Allen. She'd just say, Allen, you're going to make her throw up back there. And she said, preacher would always turn around and look at me and say, well, Miss Leslie, are you going to throw up? And she'd said, I'd go, no, Brother Barker, I'm not going to. And she said, I was so sick sitting behind it. But you know what? She was honoring him. She was honoring him is what she was doing. Now, I want to say something tonight. When problems come, and this time of the year, a lot of times problems come up in family, we ought to be concerned about that. We ought to be Nehemiah dealt with this problem. The way he started was being concerned about it. Being concerned about it. He stopped. He looked at the situation. He done an overview of that situation, and he got concerned about it. But watch what he does after he gets concerned. He sees the mess, and here's what he does. He sees it, and he's concerned about it, but watch what he does next. He just don't go running in there and start building it back. He takes that time to pray about it. There's his concern, but then there's his crying out. There's his crying out. And here's really what I want to center in on for just a minute tonight. His crying out. He took time to pray about it. He took time to pray about it. You know, I've oft heard this statement made. You'll not talk about the person that you're praying about. You'll not talk about the person you're praying about. If I'm going to talk about you, the place I need to talk about you is on my knees. Somebody give me an amen right there. It's on my knees. What did Nehemiah do? Look in verse number 4. He said in verse number 2, you see that he's concerned. He said, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Look in verse number 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down, I wept, and I mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You know what Nehemiah does when he realizes there's a problem? Nehemiah takes time to pray about it. He takes time to pray about it. As a matter of fact, if you'll study this, you'll find out that 11 different times in the book of Nehemiah, you'll see him praying. Watch this. I'll give you just a couple of them. Look in verse number 11 of chapter number 1. The Bible says this, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Look in chapter number 2. Look in verse number 4. The Bible said this. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Look in chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 and look in verse number 4. The Bible says this in chapter number 4, verse number 4. Hear, O our God, For we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of the captivity. Look in go down with me to verse number 9. He says this, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. Watch this. Verse number 4, hear, O our God. Nehemiah's praying to God. Verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer. And you know what? Nehemiah begins to pray and the people follows him in his prayer. Go with me to chapter number 5. Look in verse number 19. Chapter number 5, verse number 19 says this, think upon me, my God. Chapter 6, verse number 9 says this, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Nehemiah realized that there was a problem. You know what Nehemiah did before he ever picked up a hammer? You know what Nehemiah did before he ever picked up a nail? You know what Nehemiah did before he ever done anything with this problem? He took time to pray about it. He took time to talk to God about it. He took time to fast and pray. And you know what? The problem became so big to him that the Bible said this, that he wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Before the God, that problem that's in your life tonight, can I ask you a question? How much have you fasted and prayed over it? I didn't say prayed. I said, how much have you fasted and prayed over it? Not just praying, fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. I've said this many times before preaching, not in recent days, but I remember years ago, I hadn't been here at the church long. There was an issue that came up. And it was a major problem. It was. I didn't go to nobody else about it. I knew it. My wife knew it. And that was it. Of course, the couple knew it that we was talking to. There was a major problem. And honestly, it had the potential of causing a big issue in our church years ago. And I was preaching at Calvary Baptist Church in Bakersville, North Carolina. And the weekend before I left to go up there, I asked old Mater, I said, Josh, it preached a Sunday night. I said, you want to take a few days and go with me up on the mountain? I said, I'm going to be in Bakersville. And I said, I'm going to drive up and go to the church, the service the night before. I preach, then I'll preach the next night and we'll drive back home. And he said, let me see if I can get it worked out. So he called me back and he said, man, he said, I'd love to go with you. And I said, man, that'll be good. I said, what are we going to do? I said, we'll go up, we'll get us a motel room, spend the night. And I said, then the next day, I've asked the preacher if we can go over to the church and just spend some time praying over at the house of God. He said, preacher, man, I think that'd be great. So we went up and we went to church that night. And the next morning we got up, met that preacher, and then Brother Kevin Hughes, that's a preacher up in that area now, and Brother Josh, that's a preacher up in that area now also. I just thought about that. But anyway, we eat a little bit together, and then we went over to the church, and we was going to have a time of prayer, just season of praying, Brother Eric. And I told the men, I said, hey, look, I'm just going to pray a while. If y'all get done before I do, Brother Josh, one of them can take you back to the motel. And he said, no, preacher. He said, I'll pray till you get done or whatever. He said, we'll ride back together. And we started praying. It was all around the altar. I'll never forget. I got up and I walked all the way in the back of the church. There was a little step out in the back of the church. And I laid down in a pew back there all the way in the back of that church by myself. And boy, I just began to weep and pray and beg God to meet that need that was in our church. Now, I just told the Lord in my heart, I said, God, you know the problem that's there? I called the people's name out to God. Called their name out to God, and I said, God, you know I love them. I love them with all my heart. I want them to leave the church. I don't want anything to happen in the church. But God, I pray that your will be done. And I said, God, if I'm going to hinder the work of Christ, move me. And I said, God, if they're going to hinder the work of Christ, move them. Been very few times that I've ever prayed that in 16 years of pastoring. I can probably count on one hand and probably tell you exactly when they was. But I'll never forget. I said, God, if they're going to hinder the work of Christ, move them. And Lord, if I always pray, me too, Brother Tim, if I pray like that. And God, if I'm going to hinder the work of Christ, if I'm the one wrong, move me. Boy, I prayed and prayed and prayed that day. And I'll never forget laying back on that pew. Just all of a sudden, there's just a calm peace come over me. And God, it was louder than an audible voice, if you understand what I'm saying. Brother Greg, God just sat down beside me back on that pew. He said, son, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Don't say another thing about it. Don't even pray about it anymore. It's all right. You know what I done, Brother Stan? I got up. I walked to the front of the church. I tapped Brother Josh on the shoulder. I said, I'm ready to go if you are. We went back. I came back to the church, never said another word about it, never approached it again. Those people are still in our church today serving God today. You said, preacher, why are you saying that? I'm saying that. There's times that problems come in our life. Nehemiah's faced with a major problem, and Nehemiah's reaction to this problem is either going to lead Jerusalem further away or bring them closer to God. Are you hearing me right there? It was up to Nehemiah what he was going to do. The ball was put in his court. Now, I want to encourage you tonight on this right here. When problems come our way, they're going to come. And I'm not talking about when we have death in our family. I'm talking about problems. There's going to be problems that come our way. I want to encourage you tonight, number one, to be concerned about that problem enough that you take time to cry out to God. And you ask, God, what do you want me to do about this? God, what's your will? My wife and I's got some things that we're praying about right now. God, what's your will on this? God, your will be done on this. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to learn. Hear me and hear me well. If you'll talk to God about it, I want to say this, and I'm about right now done, but I want to say this. The mind of God is not a mystery. Can I say that to you? The will of God is not a mystery. Knowing what to do is not a mystery. Getting the mind of God is not something hard. It takes sacrifice. And sometimes God just wants to see how serious we are and wants to see how serious we are about something. But I'm going to tell you this. There has never been a time in my life. I've been saved since I was 16. I'm 44 years old. There has never been a time in my life that, Brother Gray, that I got serious with God about something. And I went to fasting and praying over that thing that God didn't give me an answer to it. That God didn't reveal. I'm telling you, that God, I preach on fasting some. The new year's coming up. I'll challenge us with a Daniel fast in the new year, like I always do. There's times that I go into a fast and I don't have no time limit on it. I just fast till I get an answer from God. There's sometimes that I say, okay, I'm going to take 5 days and I'm going to fast from this for 5 days and this is what I'm going to pray. There's sometimes, Brother Robert, when there's problems come up that I just start fasting. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just giving you an illustration tonight. Hey, look, if a preacher can't give you his own illustrations on fasting and praying, if he has to give you an illustration out of a book, you might need to look for another preacher. You holler amen right there on that. There's times, Brother Gray, when that problem hits that I just go into fasting. I don't know how long I'm going to fast and God tells me to quit fasting. Nehemiah gets concerned about this problem. You know what he does? He takes time before he goes to anybody else. Nehemiah, matter of fact, Miss Tina, will you come start playing softly if you don't mind? Matter of fact, whenever you study it out, Nehemiah even views part of this by himself in the night. He takes time away from everybody else and gets along with God. And you know what God does? God gets along with him. Can I say that again? He got along with God, and God got along with him. And boy, those times, when we get along with him, and he gets along with us, there's nothing no sweeter. There's nothing. Boy, I love my wife. I love spending time with her. This week was not a burden. I love spending time with my wife. I do. I love talking to her and communicating with her. I know she don't believe that, but I do. Not the part about spending time, the part about communicating. I love our people. Man, I had a ball the past 2 days, 3 days. I had a blast. Miss Morgan's had 4 heart attacks. since we've been gone. We come out from eating Japanese last night. She didn't know nobody else was in the world, Brother Brian. And I slid in the booth beside of her and grabbed her. It about shut the restaurant down. She screamed so loud. It was hilarious, man. We've had a ball. I love spending time, and I cherish those times. Matter of fact, I'll say this. We was coming back from the escape room things that we did, and Caleb and Caitlin was sitting in the back seat of the truck, not in the back of the truck. It was raining. I let them get in the back seat since it was raining. And I said, hey, I said, a year ago, did y'all think that on a Tuesday night at 9:30, 10 o'clock, you'd be riding up the road with your pastor and his wife, which they weren't even coming to church then, with a pastor and his wife? Man, we just had a ball. I love those things, but there's nothing. I love my children, man. I couldn't wait to get home to my kids. I love to spend time with them. I love to hear the stories of Pawpaw jumping the railroad tracks and Mama and Pawpaw fussing because Mama had cleaned the kitchen and Pawpaw brought a cooler in with deer meat in it and set it down in the kitchen and Victoria said, no, they really fussed. I said, I would have fussed too if I'd have cleaned the kitchen and he'd have come walking in there, throw deer meat across the counter. I love spending time with, but there's nothing no more precious than my alone time with God. And when I get along with him and he gets along with me, and I get serious with him and he gets serious with me, you'll see things happen in your life. Those problems that we face, those problems. He didn't go before he went to anybody else. Nehemiah took time to, you study me out when you get home. He took time to view what was going on and pray about it. Then in chapter 2, he gives them a challenge and says, come let us build up the wall together. He said, let's confront this problem. But before he ever confronted it in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he got concerned and took some time to cry out alone with just him and God. Our problems tonight. Here's if you don't get anything, I want you to get this. Before we deal with problems in our life, let's take time to pray about it. Let's take time to talk to God about it. Father.